Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody, and welcome to another episode of The Preacher and the Miracle Man here on this Tuesday, April 16th of 2019. And I'm your host, as always, for this evening, the Miracle Man, and I'm so glad you could join us tonight, wherever you may be, however you may be accessing this radio program, whatever smartphone, or maybe you're stuck in the 2000s and you still got one of those flip phones. I had heard a couple of years ago that those things were making a comeback. Not so much anymore, huh? That was short-lived, I think, wasn't it? The records are still coming back, but not the dumb phones, not the flip phones. Just thought I'd get that off my chest. But we're so glad you could join us, whatever device you're listening to this program on. And I know that God is pleased with you, because you've made the choice to tune in to this great radio program. And we're going to get into the word of the Lord in a little bit here. And we believe, some of you may say, well, Miracle Man, why is your show called The Miracle Man? Because the miracle working power of God is very, very evident in my life. I've made it through over 40 surgeries. I've survived colon cancer. I've gotten through so many things, but God has been faithful, and He's going to continue to be faithful. He will always be faithful to me, and I have faith in God, and I'm believing that the rest of my healing will be made manifest. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Yes, I am. That's why I call this show The Miracle Man. I've kind of been thinking about something. And we got some discussing to do. Listeners, why is it here in Michigan we don't have a single Waffle House? Why is it that we don't have very many Chick-fil-A's here in Michigan at all? And why is it that we don't have as many of these famous old-time diners that not only other states have, but also that certain state down to the south of us that I try to be careful not to name. Because would say the name of some of the cities in it, but I will not say. I'm trying not to call that state by name. But in general, most of the big city areas of said state, except for Cleveland, most of the other areas all have several Waffle Houses in them. Several. Not just one. Several. There's Chick-fil-A's all over that state. I would say at least 50. Toledo itself has 5 Chick-fil-A's. I was just at the newest one Friday. They had opened in January of 2018. In a way, it's like every new one, they open somewhere else, is one loss that we get. Like when it comes to those Chick-fil-A's, because that's one of the best chicken sandwiches you'll have. It is. The classic chicken sandwich here is pretty good. People can say all they want, oh, it's just like Chick-fil-A's regular chicken sandwich. Have you tried the classic chicken sandwich here, Rachel, or no? You know, some people that have, and I'm guessing they've said it is not the same as the Chick-fil-A sandwich, is it? They've said it's kind of close, but something about it is a little bit off. It's like the taste is kind of close, but something else about it is off. And I don't know what. Sometimes when a place tries to do a knockoff and tries to mock it, I think I know what McDonald's was trying to do when they created that sandwich.
What's that?
They were trying to mock Chick-fil-A, weren't they?
I think so. Maybe.
And I feel like it might have kind of backfired. I think it kind of did. And I'd like to see McDonald's and some of these other places have waffle fries. Yes, I know they're not as crispy as some of the regular fries, but they're really good. They're really good stuff. They really are. They're just something about them that just makes them. They're really good. I like how they are too. Service with a smile at Chick-fil-A. I'm never disappointed.
I like Zach to be better than Chick-fil-A.
Chick-fil-A is still really good, though, right?
Yeah.
Yes, it is, and I will agree with you. I will say Zaxby's is very, very good. In my mind, I do not know that I can say it's better than Chick-fil-A. I think it's extremely close as far as good-wise, even though the chicken is different. As far as how good is it, in my mind, it is close. One difference, for example, is Zaxby's. They all have the Coke freestyle. No Chick-fil-A's do, that I know of, at least. What is it that is holding Michigan back, listeners? I'm curious. What is holding us back? Why don't we have 30 or 40 Chick-fil-A's at least to be somewhat close to that neighbor south of us? Even Chicago's getting them now. They just put one in downtown Chicago in a building where a very, 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 very popular restaurant used to be. This very popular restaurant did not shut down. It just moved a few doors down. But Chick-fil-A decided to go into that space. Indiana has quite a few more than we do. When I saw us getting Sonics in Michigan 10 years ago, and it was a couple of years after, I had been to my first Sonic down in Tennessee. I thought, hey, we're starting to get victory here. We're starting to get a bit better. Maybe we'll have quite a few more. Now we've got 20 Sonics, same as Indiana. That other state south of us has a few more than that, but they are a bit bigger land-wise and have almost twice the amount of people. If anything, maybe we should have a couple more than Indiana does, I think. And a little more split out around Michigan. I'd like to see a Sonic here in Midland, and then I'd like to see a couple up north somewhere. Near 75. Chick-fil-A, though, it's been really slow getting them up here. Very, very, very slow. We got some on the west side now. I was hoping we'd get one maybe in Midland. I hope they don't play that game of it's got to be a certain amount of people in the area. To be honest with you, I think it's dumb when these companies try to do that or try to do this exclusivity thing that they can't be within 25 or 35 miles of each other. Oh, and Golden Corral. Have you been to a Golden Corral before, Rachel? I love them, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
I think it's time for these places to do away with these exclusivity things.
I agree.
The ones who have them. Because, to be honest with you, they don't work. They don't work. And I still think Ponderosa left a void when they closed here. And that void still isn't filled. I even think if you turned one of those mall food court restaurants into a buffet, that it might actually do really good, I feel like. Because then the buffet's right in the food court. It's not in a plaza somewhere. It's not, you know. It's like, especially if they come right in there. And only this would be, you would tell them what you want, and they put it on the plate for you. In a way, that might actually be better because then you know who's touching the stuff, you know. Don't you think that might actually be a better model in a way?
Yeah.
It's like if you have two vacancies back-to-back, make them into one big buffet. That might not be a bad idea at all, I feel like. And it could be – we got a lot of Chinese buffets and that. They got some good stuff, but I want to see more American ones. And when it comes to food, yeah, I like some of the new stuff, but in a way, I am big, huge on the whole traditional idea. These places that decide we make our stuff the way we've made it for many, many, many years. You know, we've made it this way for generations. We haven't changed the recipe. Still made with love. I love that. And some pretty good stuff. Why we don't have Waffle House, why we don't have Chick-fil-A. As many Chick-fil-A's in Michigan as we should, I don't know. Because they're already, some of these cities are already built up with them. Chattanooga, for example, they got 8. Toledo, 2.5 hours from us, they got 5. Detroit area combined has 1, 2. There are 3 in the immediate Detroit area. 1 out in the Ann Arbor area. So that Detroit area has 3. None of them are freestanding. The Detroit area, I mean, has 3. None of which are freestanding. My hope, well, they're building one downriver right now. They're working on another one out in Novi. And then they, I mean, that one, I hope that one passes so they can build that. And then there's talk of putting one on M59 out in Sterling Heights. But so getting a little bit better. My hope, though, is for one in Auburn Hills, some more around the Detroit area also, Flint, Saginaw, even a Midland store. Help me figure that out, though. I got to look to see in some of these other states how far away from the metro areas some of them are that have them. Where you went to in Indiana, did they have a Chick-fil-A there?
No.
How close was the closest one?
Okay.
But they had a Zaxby's?
Yep.
Both of them are from Atlanta. Chick-fil-A is still a bigger chain than Zaxby's is, so I don't know why they have a Zaxby's but not a Chick-fil-A. I'm kind of curious. Someone in Bertrand, did you hear about that petition on change.org about that guy who wants to bring a Chick-fil-A to Bertrand?
No.
Apparently it's this teenager. He really wants him to build one. My hope is that something comes out of it because I haven't heard someone down there in that state this weekend in a mall. Just walking on the mall hallway. I heard someone say, I want to go to Chick-fil-A. And I was thinking to myself, man, I wish I was hearing that at home in Michigan. Or hearing, I want to go to Waffle House. And just knowing that it's a few miles away or whatever, that's right across the road or whatever, you know. And no one here. We don't have them. I hope no one up here is saying we don't want them. If they are, I'd be like, well, what's your thing? Folks, if I made you hungry, I'm sorry. I just had to get that off my chest. It's dinner time, and I hope most of you ate. Because maybe then I wouldn't have made you so hungry. Because I'm sure, Rachel, you've heard the joke. I used to think people were serious when I was like 9 or 10, and they would tell me to stop talking about food because I was making them hungry. And then years later, I found out that I wouldn't say all the time. I wouldn't say like the vast majority of the time, but I would say much of the time. They're joking around. And a lot of times they are too, aren't they? But other times it really does make them hungry, doesn't it? That's just the way it works. So, folks, in all seriousness, this is Holy Week. And I just want to encourage you listeners, please. Tell others you know when they ask you what Easter is about. What's the true meaning of Easter? Hopefully some people will ask you folks that. What's the true meaning of Easter? Nope, not talking about that dumb Easter bunny. Okay. He's not dumb, but not about the Easter candy. Not even about those wonderful Krispy Kreme jelly bean donuts that I want for Easter. Hopefully one of your listeners might send me one. Might send me some. They're really good stuff. Someone gave them to me as a late Christmas present after the first of the year. They were gone in a few days. I ate them all. They're some of the best jelly beans you'll ever have. It's not about those. It's not about the peeps. It's not about going on an Easter egg hunt. I mean, you can do all that stuff. And if you're a family, none of the Easter egg hunts and the Easter bunny and all the peeps and that, it's not dirty, but you just want to teach your children that the Easter bunny is not real. It's not real. It's just a fantasy. The chocolate Easter bunnies are real, but they're just a candy bar. And I've never heard of a candy bar going out and buying Easter gifts, because candy bars don't give birth to other candy bars. Or to things that the kids need or whatever. But Easter is truly about Jesus dying on the cross for us. And then rising again on Easter Sunday. Because Easter Sunday, that's Resurrection Day. That's the day Jesus was resurrected and went up into heaven. Praise God. That's the true meaning of Easter. And I'm going to open up my Bible in just about 5 minutes or so. And we're going to read from, we're going to read from Matthew 26, starting with verse 41 and go to the end of the chapter. And then we're going to read through a good chunk of Matthew 27. I want to show you the five times tonight. I'm going to show you the five times where Jesus shed his blood. And I'm going to tell you what it was all about. And all that. And then after that, I'm going to sing you a song. And then after that, we'll get into some sports discussion. First of all, real quickly, listeners, I promised you I'd open up my Bible in 5 minutes. Let's see, listeners, if I can beat that and maybe even open it sooner. We'll see. Now, listeners, I want to tell you to please tell everyone you know about this great radio program. Please. We believe in God to double, at minimum, double the amount of listeners compared to what we had, we'll say, one of the last shows of last year. We want to get to December 31, 2019, and have it be that on average, we doubled the listenership compared to what we had the end of the previous year. At least doubled. We'll believe in God for that. But how you can make that happen, if you tell someone about the show and they agree and they turn it on, go to the website and turn on the show, boom, you've doubled the amount of listeners just like that. And then if they tell someone, oh, by that, and they do, but oh, by then you've quadrupled. And I keep believing God all the time that we're going to keep growing this audience. Because as you grow, we grow this audience, that's more people we get to reach. That's more souls we win in through God's kingdom. So, what you can tell them to do is go to blogtalkradio.com. Once again, that is blogtalkradio.com. When you get in the search bar, you'll see a search bar. In the search bar, you'll want to type in Upfront Entertainment. After you type that in, you'll see a link that says Living Large. Go ahead and click on that link, please. Then you'll see a button that says Miracle Man. After you click on that, you'll see another button that says Follow. What's going to happen when we hit the follow button? Well, you're going to get notified as we get ready to do our shows. So tomorrow night at 6:30 will be our next show. And then next week, 6:30 every night, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, we're going to do our shows and we're just going to keep charging on the things of God. Amen. Amen. And it can be a blessing to you that way. Also, we have a telephone number where you can call into the show and be a part and talk to me about generally anything you wish to talk to me about, as long as it is not politics. And if you want to ask me about the Easter Bunny or something, I'm not going to shut you down. I'm going to let you ask the question, and I'm going to tell you. The number to call in is area code 215-383-3810. Once again, that number is 215-383-3810. Listen for the prompt, please. When you hear the prompt that says press 1 to call into a live show, go ahead and press 1. You'll be taken to a call screener. And then my assistant will pick up the phone. She'll let me know, Miracle Man, we got a caller. I'm going to say, all right. And then we're going to get you on. I'm going to say, hey, what say you this evening? Then we'll give you the floor and let you say what you have to say. Prayerfully, we'll get some great callers in tonight. I love it when we have good callers. Good callers that might ask me a question or might give me some feedback. It's awesome. lets me know you're participating. Praise God. We're going to pray real quick. Then we're going to open the Word of God. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this Word tonight. I thank you for these listeners who have made the choice to be a part of this great radio program, wherever they are, whatever device they're on. I thank you that you'll just bless them for joining this program. I thank you that if these people do not know you, they'll give their life to you right now. Thank you that these listeners have ears to hear and a mind to receive from you. Thank you that they'll study with me. I thank you, Lord God, that you use me as an oracle tonight. So as I study your word, we discuss about this great season, this great week right now, Jesus. And Lord Jesus, right now I confess over this radio program, new equipment is coming to this program. Increases in listenership are coming to this program. Finances and partners are coming to this radio program. And most importantly, Lord, souls are coming into this program. Souls are coming into this program. They will give their life to you on this radio program. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Matthew 26. Let's go. Praise God, Matthew 26. I think we got it close to 5 minutes. If I went over 5 minutes, I apologize. But I'm ready to get into the Word. I'm just going to fix something real quick first. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for working on the inside of us. And we love you, Lord. We really do. Just gonna fix something real quick. Then after that, we should be ready to go. Matthew 26. And I just want to encourage you folks, follow along. Whatever I do here in McDonald's, if I sing a song and you know the lyrics, go ahead and sing it. Yeah. If I lift my hand to worship God, then by all means, get your hands up and worship God. And just gotta fix something again real quick, and then we will be ready to go. Sorry about that. But God is always on our side. He is, and I thank Him for that all the time. No matter what may be happening, He is always there for us. Always. And that's why I love him like I do. Just gonna fix one more thing really quick. And then we'll be back in action. And we'll be able to study the word. Now, Matthew 26, and we're going to start with verse 41. 26:41. Then he returned to his disciples, and he found them sleeping. Do you not keep watch with me for 1 hour? Actually, I decided to start at verse 40. Peter, watch and pray, so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. He went away a second time, and he prayed, My Father, if it's not possible for you to take this cup, unless I drink it, may your will be done. When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away again. And he prayed again. The third time, he said the same thing. Then he returned to the disciples and said, to them, are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour is near, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let's go. Here comes my betrayer. Pay attention to this. Now we're going to start getting into the heart of the message. So, pay attention. While he was still speaking, Judas, one of the twelve disciples, arrived. With him was a large crowd armed with swords and clubs. Sent with chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had arranged a signal with them. The one I kiss is the man. Arrest him. Going at once to Jesus, Judas said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and he kissed him. Jesus replied, "Friend, do what you came for." Then the men stepped forward, seized Jesus, and they arrested him. With that, one of Jesus' companions reached for his sword, drew it, and struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear. "Put your sword back in its place," Jesus said to him, "for all who draw the sword will die by the sword. Do you think I cannot call on my Father and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? But how then will the scriptures be fulfilled that say it must happen in this way?" At that time, Jesus said to the crowd, "Am I leading a rebellion that you have come out with swords and clubs to capture me? Every day I sat in the temple courts. Every day I sat in the temple courts teaching, and you did not arrest me there. But this has all taken place so that the writings of the prophets might be fulfilled." Then all the disciples deserted him and fled. Verse 57. Those who have arrested Jesus took him to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the teachers of the law and the elders had assembled. Peter followed him at a distance, right up to the courtyard of the high priest. He entered and sat down with the guards to see the outcome. The chief priests and the whole Sanhedrin were looking for false evidence against Jesus so that they could put him to death. But they didn't find any. Though many false witnesses came forward, finally two came forward and declared, "This fellow said, 'I'm able to destroy the temple of God and rebuild it in 3 days.'" Then the high priest stood up and said to Jesus, "Are you not going to answer? What is this testimony that these men are bringing against you?" But Jesus remained silent. The high priest said to him, "I charge you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God." "Yes, it is as you say," Jesus replied. "But I say to all of you, in the future, you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore his clothes and said, "He has spoken blasphemy. Why do we need any more testimony? Look now. You've heard the blasphemy. What you think? He is worthy of death, they answered. Then they spit in his face and struck him with many fists. Others slapped him and said, prophesy to us. Who hit you? Verse 69. Now Peter was sitting out in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him. You also were with Jesus of Galilee, she said. But he denied it before them all. I don't know what you're talking about. Oh, there's the first denial, he said. Verse 71. Then he went out to the gateway, where another girl saw him and said to the people there, this fellow was with Jesus of Nazareth. He denied it again. There's two. And he said it with an oath. I don't know the man. So at that point, he's denied Jesus twice. After a little while, those standing there went up to Peter and said, surely you are one of them, for your accent gives you away. Then he began to call down curses on himself, and he swore to them, I don't know the man. Three times he denied Jesus. Three times. Verse 75 says, immediately a rooster crowed. Then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken. Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me three times. And he went outside and he wept bitterly. Verse 1. Early in, we're going into chapter 27 now. Early in the morning, all the chief priests and the elders of the people came to the decision to put Jesus to death. They bound him, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate, who was the governor. When Judas, who had betrayed Jesus, saw that Jesus was condemned, he was seized with remorse, and he returned the 30 silver coins to the chief priests and the elders. I have sinned, he said, for I have betrayed innocent blood. What's that to us? They replied. That's your responsibility. Showed Jesus threw the money into the temple and left. Then he went away and hanged himself. The chief priests picked up the coins and said, it is against the law to put this into the treasury, since it is blood money. So they decided to use the money to buy the potter's field as a burial place for foreigners. That's why it's been called the Field of Blood to this day. The note was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet was fulfilled. They took the 30 silver coins. The first set it him to the people of Israel, and they used them to buy the potter's field, as the Lord commanded. Verse 11 now. Meanwhile, Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "Yes, it is as you say," Jesus replied. When he was accused by the chief priests and the elders, he gave no answer. Then Pilate asked him, "Don't you hear the testimony that they are bringing against you?" But Jesus made no reply, and not even to a single charge, to the great amazement of the governor. Now it was the governor's custom at the feast to release a prisoner chosen by the crowd. At that time, they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when the crowd had gathered, Pilate asked them, "Which one do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ?" For he knew it was out of envy that they had handed Jesus over to him. Well, Pilate was sitting on the judge's seat. His wife sent him this message: "Don't have anything to do with that innocent man, for I have suffered a great deal today in a dream because of him." But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus executed. Wow. They actually told the people to choose. Verse 21. "Which of the two do you want me to release to you?" asked the governor. "Barabbas," they answered. "What shall I do then with Jesus, who is called Christ?" Pilate asked. They all answered, "Crucify him." "What crime has he committed?" asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, "Crucify him." And when Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere, but that instead an uproar was starting, he took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd. "I am innocent of this man's blood," he said. "It is your responsibility." All of the people answered, "Let his blood be on us and on our children." Then he released Barabbas to them, but he had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified. All right, now we're getting into the crucifixion. Now we're getting into the times Jesus shed his blood. So pay attention, please. Verse 27. Then the governor's soldiers took Jesus in to the praetorium and gathered the whole company of soldiers around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. and they twitched together a crown of thorns and set it on his head. They put a staff in his right hand and knelt in front of him and mocked him. "Hail, King of the Jews," they said. They spit on him and took the staff and struck him on the head again and again. After they had mocked him, they took off his robe and put his own clothes back on him. Then they led him away to crucify. Verse 32 now. As they were going out, they met a man, Cyrene, named Simon, and they forced him to carry the cross. They came to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. There they offered Jesus wine to drink, mixed with vinegar. But when he tasted it, he refused to drink it. When they had crucified him, they divided up his clothes by casting lots. And sitting down, they kept watch over him. Above his head, they placed the written charge against him: "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews," says there in all caps lock. Two robbers were crucified with him, one on his right, the other on his left. Those who passed by, hurling insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "You who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. Come down from that cross if you are the Son of God." In the same way, the chief priests and teachers of the law and the elders mocked him. "He saved others," they said, "but he can't save himself. He's the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and he will believe in himself. He trusted in God. Let God rescue him now if he wants him." He said, "I am the Son of God." In the same way, the robbers who were crucified with him also hurled insults. Verse 45 now. From the sixth hour until the ninth hour. Well, there was darkness in the land on the sixth hour. From the sixth hour until the ninth hour. Now, this was on Good Friday. So on our day here, that would be around 3 p.m. Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing there heard this, they said, "He's calling Elijah." Immediately one of them ran and got a sponge. He filled it with wine vinegar, put it on a stick, and offered it to Jesus to drink. The rest said, "Now leave him alone. If Elijah comes to save him." And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, the rock split, the tomb was broke open, and the bodies of many holy people who had fled, who had died, were raised to life. They came out of the tombs, and after Jesus' resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many people. One, the centurion, and those who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that had happened. They were terrified, and they exclaimed, "Surely he was the Son of God." Many women were there, watching from a distance. They had followed Jesus from Galilee to care for his needs. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of Jesus, and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's sons. Verse 57. As the evening approached, there came a rich man from Arimathea, named Joseph, who had himself become a disciple of Jesus. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body. And Pilate ordered that it be given to him. Joseph took the body, wrapped in a clean linen cloth, and placed it in his own new tomb that he had cut out of the rock. He rolled a big stone in front of the entrance to the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were sitting there opposite the tomb. Now I'm going to stop right there. All right. Now, Jesus So here's what happened. So Jesus had nails put in his hands and feet. So what you'll see is there was five different times where Jesus shed his blood. One of them was the whipping post, where he kept getting beaten and struck. That was when he was sitting there and they yelled out, "Prophesy! Who struck you?" He had a crown of thorns placed on his head. Then he had nails placed all over him, and blood came out. Then he got beaten again. Then when I threw him up there on that cross, blood came out again. That whole time he was up there, so let me explain to you something that happened. They used to have this feast. At this feast, here's what would happen. Jesus would be up there, right? And he would be they'd be having a feast, and Pilate, the governor, used to let someone go free. And the people would get to choose who. Here's the thing. People told the people who to choose. Basically, they persuaded them to vote for Barabbas. And to let Barabbas go. So they didn't necessarily say, you will choose Barabbas. They really wanted him to. Probably bribed him. And so Pilate asked the question, who do you want me to release to you and let go? Barabbas or Jesus, who's called Christ? They said, give us Barabbas. And so they gave Barabbas to him. And what did they do to Jesus? Crucified him. Threw him up there on the cross at Calvary. And as terrible as that was, every time Jesus got beat, caught that scarlet robe they put on him, all of the stuff that happened, the beatings, the vinegar, and all of this stuff, every time, every single time that he got beaten, every time a drop of blood was spilt, Jesus bought something for me and you and me. Every time. We're going to read Luke tomorrow. Mark or Luke, I'm not sure which, but we're going to keep discussing this tomorrow. And then on Monday, we're going to talk about the resurrection and ascension of Jesus. Since we don't have a show on Sunday, I figured stay in cross mode this week. You know what's cross mode? What I mean by cross mode is that I would continue teaching on the cross this week. And what all happened to Jesus there. That's why I cut off reading where I cut off. So that you listeners knew and understood why I did what I did. And I'm going to tell you guys, give you guys tomorrow night, the seven sayings of Jesus. The seven things that Jesus said when he was up there on the cross. I taught on it last year. I trust that some of you have never heard it taught to you. Maybe you don't have a great pastor like I do, that two out of the past 3 years, he taught us the seven sayings of Jesus. I'm going to do that again. I'm going to do that tomorrow because I think it's really important that you know this. So, I'm going to dig out that outline with verse evidence. You know, what are the verses where Jesus said those things? We got some tonight. One of them specifically was where Jesus said, Eloi, Elavaxanaxanai, or in English we would say, my God, why have you forsaken me? That's just one of the sayings. We found a couple more as well, but I'm just going to give you one hint as to what one of them was. We're going to keep this going tomorrow. So, people say, you know, did Jesus really shed his blood? Is that just a little storybook? Or did that actually happen? Yes, it did. It was like, the sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. It says there in John. And he was sweating profusely. You know, like how when you're sweating at the gym, now, I'll be at Planet Fitness working out on some machines, and I'll be doing some weights and stuff, and I'll be sweating a bit. I imagine Jesus was sweating way, 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 way more than that. But time's getting short, and there's some sports stuff I want to talk about, so I'm going to pray first. Dear Jesus, I thank you for these listeners tonight. I thank you for this word tonight. I thank you, Lord God, for what you did on the cross for us. I thank you for everything that it represents and for everything we have as a result of you, Jesus, and what you did. And Lord, this week, Lord, next week, I'm going to be talking about this covenant that we have with you, Jesus, as a result of what you did for us. And I'm going to be discussing that, Lord. And I just thank you, Father, that your hand is on us. And Thank you that these people would tell other people what Easter is truly about, what Good Friday is truly about. And what all these events symbolize and represent. And I give you praise and honor and glory for that. In Jesus' matchless name, amen and amen and amen. Okay. The Tigers are supposed to play the Pirates tonight at Comerica Park, weather permitting. The rain here let up a while ago. My hope is that it also let up in Detroit. The Tigers right now have a record of 8-7. They've lost 4 of 5 games, unfortunately, however. And here's the sad thing. Even though the pitching's been decent this year, I got bad news to tell you. They have scored less runs than anyone else in baseball. There are certain players that have scored just about as many runs as the entire Tigers team has this year. That's pretty scary. They used to score a lot more runs just a few years ago. Just a few years ago, they used to score a lot more runs. Unfortunately, their run production has went way down. So they need to work on that. I don't know what they need to do to fix it, but they need to do something different. So, there you go there. Pistons start a series against Milwaukee tonight. No, they play game 2 of the series against Milwaukee tonight in Milwaukee. Sunday night, they just got rattled like crazy by Milwaukee. And as you recall from last night when I told you that Andre Drummond was ejected because he had a level two flagrant foul. And then Blake Griffin, he's out indefinitely with a knee injury. I should say indefinitely. He's out indefinitely with a knee injury. So you'll want to keep that in mind. If the Pistons are going to win a game, in my mind, it's going to be one of the ones at Little Caesars Arena. But it's only going to be by a few points. So it's looking like it'll probably be better next year, boys. But I think a couple good guards can help them do better next year. Let's talk some Lions real quick, and then I want to get into Tiger Woods. So, Tigers have released the schedule. I mean, the Lions have for this next year, the NFL has. I don't know all the dates yet, but here's what we do know. Away games will consist of the usual suspects, Chicago, Minnesota. No, I'll call them out by teams. Bears, Vikings, Pack. The other 5 away games for Detroit are The other away games for Detroit are Eagles, Raiders, Cardinals, and Eagles, Raiders, Cardinals, Broncos. And there's one other away game that we did not talk about yet. Also, at home, they will be playing the Chiefs and the Chargers. And then the usual suspects we always talk about, Bears, Pack, Vikes. And then I believe they might be playing Dallas. Washington. No, Washington's that other road game. And then oh, yeah, the Giants are one of the home games. So looks like it's going to be NFC East, AFC West, two other opponents, and then you'll see, in addition to that, you'll see the usual suspects twice. Minnesota, Green Bay, Chicago. So that's what you have for the Lions' schedule this year. And it's too early to make predictions as to what they'll be like. I'll do that. I'm going to maybe do an assessment after the draft and see how they draft it. And kind of look at that based on that schedule and kind of come up in my mind what I think they'll be like. Based on last year, I see some winnable games. I also see some games where they could struggle. So we'll see what happens. The NFC North will probably be tougher this year. You're going to see the Pack really want to improve. The Vikes are going to want to improve after that rough start they had, that rough season they had last year. So we'll just see what happens. Tiger Woods, as you know, he had that great comeback on Sunday to win that Masters trophy. He's had three other jackets that you get for winning the Masters trophy. And there's a major coming up in a month. There's also the U.S. Open in June. I think you're going to see a lot more people watching these major golf tournaments. I really do. Because people are going to watch and they're going to wonder, does Tiger have it in it? Got him in him again? I tell you one thing, Tiger roared back with the roar of a tiger. My hope is that the Detroit Tigers can start to get a bit more of a roar in their bats when they're up their bat. We're going to high fly ball deep way back left field and gone, a home run. Cabrera with another home run, and the Tigers reclaim the lead. That's what I hope to hear coming out of the Tigers. That's also, I hope Tiger Woods, when he's playing golf, can be a lot better here going forward. So we'll see what happens, folks. Until tomorrow night, folks, God first, God always. So long, everybody.